Grade 2 Conference, Lecture 44, The Path of the Teacher, Part 3. Just to continue talking about the astral body and its web of relationships, it's also good for you to always be cultivating new interests. You know, maybe you get very engaged in rock climbing or kayaking or snowboarding or something if you're sort of an outdoors person. Maybe you join a reading club and just start to read works of literature that have nothing to do with Waldorf education. Perhaps you decide that you really need to learn to paint in oils or learn to sculpt or something. And, you know, I'm just throwing off the top of my head, so it's all kind of, you know, upper echelon artistic things and sports, but just something that you haven't done before. This actually is a tremendous stimulus for your astral body. It strengthens it in the same way that working with rhythm and habit strengthens the etheric body. So it's good to do for the astral body in general, just as a salutary matter. And it also, once again, is a counter to that expression, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. You know, don't become dull, don't become stuck, and don't just have this little narrow view of what you're allowed to do now because you're a Waldorf teacher and on the way to canonization and eventual sainthood. There are people in the Waldorf movement, or at least there used to be a few, who are like that. And they're incredible people, wonderful people. I can't say I'd want to be one of those people, though, and I'm not sure that you should be one of those people, if that's even appropriate anymore. I think that whole kind of monastic and convent impulse in Waldorf education is rightfully fading away. And maybe now we're seeing more like a knightly phase of those who go out into the world, meet it, do battle, are not perhaps always so morally perfect and so absolutely beatified, but who are real people living in the 21st century. And I think that's very, very important. And I should also mention here, you know, another set of relationships that you have, which are often easily forgotten, are with your children. If and when, and maybe, of course, I don't doubt some of you to whom I'm speaking have children. And this has been a huge, huge change in Waldorf education because it used to be, and certainly was like that for, I would say, my first decade in Green Meadow Waldorf School, that if somebody applied to be our new class teacher and that person had a child who was younger, their own child, who was younger than first grade age, we wouldn't even consider that person. We wouldn't even bother interviewing them. They had no chance in the world. You know, stay at home with your child or look after your child. How dare you even apply? And then one day that changed with a bang. And of course, now I meet many, many brand new mothers who are teaching first grade or second or third or sometimes a grade even higher than that, and have the support of a spouse, have the support of maybe their in-laws or their own parents, that things have really changed in many ways. And, you know, I've been in situations where there are mothers who are kind of, you know, the baby comes in after morning lesson and they go off to a room and nurse the baby and off the baby goes back to grandma or whomever. Definitely the relationship of Waldorf teachers to parenting and to their children has changed profoundly, and there are more and more young mothers, brand new mothers, pregnant women who are in the classroom actively teaching and maybe only missing a few weeks in the course of their final days of pregnancy and the birth and the work with the little child. So this is very powerful. And it was I who many years ago originated the term Waldorfans, talking about how sometimes the children of the Waldorf teachers are among the most without offending all of you, unnoticed, neglected somewhat, left to wander around. And in fact, this was even the case in the very first Waldorf school in Stuttgart on the Thursday afternoons that the teachers were having their meetings. They were having their meetings on Thursday afternoon because that was religious release day. So the Catholic children in the school went off with the priest, the Protestant children with the minister, and then there were the children of the Waldorf teachers, who many of whom did not ascribe to any religion in particular. This was pre-Christian community days, and whose children then were just hanging out all afternoon, getting themselves in trouble, sometimes big time. So there it was. It's kind of right there in the blueprint of the school, and it's something that we still really need to contend with. And I'm not in any position to give advice. I've been a father of four, and I would say on the whole probably a better teacher than a father, more successful in the classroom than on the home front. And I just, you know, want to bring it to your attention that it is wonderful to be a teacher in a Waldorf school and have your child in that Waldorf school. There are so many wonderful things about it. And we know there are some people whose Waldorf careers begin when it's time for their child to enter the kindergarten, and whose Waldorf careers end when that child has graduated from 8th grade or 12th grade, depending on the school. And then, you know, they don't need that free tuition or greatly reduced tuition anymore, and they're gone. But then there are also those individuals who are so totally engaged and involved with the school that in certain respects, their children kind of come second, or at least 1.5 or 1.2. And just be very careful about that. You know, don't assume because the child's in the Waldorf school, everybody else is taking care of him and looking after him. But, you know, your role as a mother, your role as a father is still extremely important. And another set of relationships that you have to contend with, which is not only true in Waldorf schools, all private schools deal with this sort of thing, and public schools to a lesser extent, and this is the faculty child, that your child is in somebody else's class. And you know that person as a colleague. Perhaps at meetings, that person has been very frank with all of you in confidence about some of her failings, about issues that she's having right now, which are completely confidential, but which definitely are affecting her teaching, and how's the faculty going to deal with that, and how will you deal with that as somebody with inside information? Very difficult. You also may confide things at meetings, and there are parents of children in your class sitting in those meetings. So it's not a one-way street. It's very complicated. And I will just say to you by way of warning that let's say you have three children who go to your school. The odds are, the likelihood is that unless, you know, the stars are very much smiling down on you, that probably two of your three children will have teachers for whom you do not care a lot, whose standards and whose capacities you're not terribly impressed with. And what do you do about that? How do you work with that? Because, of course, we Waldorf teachers make a pledge, we could say, be it unspoken or spoken, that we will support each other, that we will be really good colleagues and help each other through thick or thin, if for no other reason than that we're modeling that kind of behavior for the children. But then we have to recognize sometimes that will mean that for the sake of supporting a colleague, for being, you know, a team player, for standing behind the school and so on, that I am going to allow my child to get an inferior education. Still a Waldorf education, but not what I was counting on, not what I was expecting. That may happen sometimes. The other side is that you just are very open and frank and, you know, share with other parents what you know, and this person has to go. There are teachers who do that, who've done that, and it's not to say that then they're booted out of their school for not being team players. Sometimes, in fact, everybody's kind of relieved that that person just opened up and said, we've got to do something. We cannot allow this person to continue here. They did it for selfish reasons, but it turned out to be something good. So it's not simple. It's a complicated matter. And there are times, there may be months now and then, or even a year, where this is the biggest issue that you face, and you're facing it day after day, and there's no easy way out, and you're not sure what to do. Be prepared for that. You know, this is another great test of the metal of your astral body. This is yet another in that great web of relationships that constitutes the Waldorf school and the Waldorf community, how your own children then live into it. And I just leave you with one last thought, what Francis Bacon said: our destinies are hostage to our children. Think about that one. Our destinies are hostage to our children. Truer words were never spoken about a Waldorf school setting. That being said, let's move onward and upward and look at our relationship to our ego as a Waldorf teacher.